So Hare Krishna, here I am again in Budapest. It was a nice quick flight back, and it was a nice change. Yesterday it was snowing in Toronto. Here it's 18 degrees right now at 10:30 in the morning. Very beautiful spring weather, as Krishna says, Arituham. Krishna is among seasons. He is a flower-bearing spring. And before I left, the trees that are outside the window here, they were still without buds, or at least they had buds, but now those buds are flowering. And before I speak about today's topic, which I thought to be quite interesting, subject that came up, request from devotees on the following. Number one, please sign your letters. It's inappropriate not to do so. As I probably mentioned before a few times, only very important people have the privilege of not signing their letters. So please sign your letters. That's the polite thing to do. Second is put your address on the letter inside. Putting it on the envelope outside is good for the postal system, so that if your letter gets lost, then they can send it back to you. If you haven't addressed it properly, then they can send the letter back. But it doesn't. It makes it difficult for me, because then not only I have to keep the letter, but I also have to attach the envelope to it, which is extra work. And if you put your return address on neither, then for Kalavati Devi Dasi, it makes it extremely difficult. She's now herself and Ramapriya have now moved here to Hungary. They're actually after Chaitanya Chandra, they're the first devotees who actually moved to Hungary. They're living in the village outside the Rajadan, and they're retired, and come to take shelter of Raj Shamasundar. So she's the one who does my correspondence, has been doing it for, I don't know, 15 years probably. So please don't make life difficult for her. The topic I'm going to talk about, as I mentioned, which I thought was really quite interesting. Last night I was speaking with the Sankirtan ladies who were in England. They were in Manchester. And this Bhakti Nivet, she's a new devotee. And she asked this great question. She said, I hear that when people manufacture silk, that in the manufacture of silk, the silk worms or silk caterpillars, they're actually killed in the process. And is that so? And if it is, how am I supposed to understand that? So I told her, yes, that's actually a fact. Although there are two types of silk. One is called Ahimsa silk, and the other one is just the regular silk. Ahimsa silk is, ahimsa means non-violent, is a certain type of silk that they make without actually killing the silkworm. It's rougher, it's not as shiny, and quite thick silk. However, take note that every silk that you purchase in India under the label of Ahimsa silk is not necessarily ahimsa. So I think everyone who's been to India knows that things aren't necessarily as they appear or claimed in India. So it's not necessarily ahimsa silk. And the shiny, smooth, thin, fine silk that you purchase is most likely ahimsa. There's violence involved in getting it to the stage where you're wearing it. So how do we explain that? We're, as Vaishnavas living, we're supposed to be nonviolent, and yet at the same time we're wearing clothes that are a product of violence. Well, some devotees prefer to use that ahimsa silk, or they may avoid silk altogether. Although when you're wearing cotton is also a product of violence, and unfortunately wool, although you know sheep are sheared and they don't necessarily kill the animals, but the way they shear them is very violent, and after shearing them they very often, of course depends on the type of wool, they also kill the animals for meat. But that isn't the main point. My main point is that even Vaishnavas who want to live in a non-violent way in this world cannot be fully non-violent. When we talk about non-violence, we're actually talking about minimal violence. Complete non-violence is not possible. Narada Muni states in Srimad Bhagavatam, jivo jivasya jivanam, hastani sahastanam, every living entity in this world subsists at the cost of another living entity. You may be vegetarian, but even in the process of eating vegetables, harvesting grains, so many different things, you're taking life. Even when you offer a flower to Krishna, patram pushpam palam toyam, Krishna's telling you to do it. But yomi bhakti priyachati, and he's telling you in what mood to do it, which I'll talk about just later. But he's telling you to offer flower. You offer a flower, that flower is a living being. When that flower is placed in a vase, or some other decorative way for the Lord, you've taken life. And, of course, when you even drink a glass of water, when you're killing so many living entities unknowingly or knowingly, when you go for a walk or just walking anywhere, how many ants have you stepped upon? You don't know that, but they know it. How many lives have you taken when you go on parikrama in Vrindavan? So many other living entities, involuntarily, you take their lives. Now, how can you avoid that, since that's the way of this world? And let your mind wander, and you'll come up with so many different examples of how we take the life of other living entities. So it's not possible not to subsist on the life of others, but you need to subsist with minimum. You need to try to avoid violence, and you need to do it with the proper mood. Yome bhaktya priyachati. What is that proper mood? Well, don't live in a selfish way. What does Krishna say? He says many things about this. Tat kurusva mararpanam. He says, whatever you do, do as an offering to me. So when our life is an offering to Krishna, and when I say life, I mean your eating, your work, your sleeping, your dress, your so many other things. When these things are offered to Krishna, then aham tam sarva papebhyo. So then Krishna sarva pap, he frees you from the sinful reaction of all of these things. Indeed, not only does he free you from the sinful reaction, but everything that is done which is within reason for the purpose of serving him, then that's accepted by Krishna Yome Bhaktya in form of devotional service, and done with the mood of surrender, then it's not only that you're freed from the sinful reaction, but Krishna accepts the need of having to actually take life. If, however, you're a motivated person, tat-kuru-shamadar-panam, you're living in this world to enjoy, but you offer things to Krishna in order to become freed from the sinful reaction, then it's questionable whether you become free from all sinful reaction. You maybe become freed from some. And even if you become freed from some sinful reaction or a lot of it, you may not be freed from the entanglement that comes as a result of acting in a motivated way. As Krishna says, even in the mode of goodness, one can become conditioned by material life. So even vegetarians may become conditioned and therefore bound to material existence. So how does one become free from all sinful reaction? Krishna says, sarva-dharma pratyaja. Yes, sarva-dharma. When you offer everything, when you offer everything in pure devotion, aham tam sarva-papa. So sarva-dharma and sarva-papa. You offer everything to Krishna, you become free from sinful reaction. So the way of living in this world, in order that violence is justified, minimal violence is justified, and that one becomes free from sinful reaction, is when we live in pure devotion, fully dependent on Krishna. And then back to Bhaktinivet's question about why do we then wear silk? Well, as I pointed out, cotton, wool, and even in synthetics, so much are involved that are violent activities to other living entities to produce anything, to do anything in this world. Silk is pure. It's good for the purpose of deity worship. It is nice clothing to wear when one is going preaching. So, fine, wear silk. You don't need 100 saris or 50 kurtas and dhotis. Use the minimum that you have, and if you use what you need, you use what your quota is, and you're dedicated your life to Krishna's service in devotion, then Krishna will accept that as being justifiable violence, and he will also free you from the results of that. What about the poor caterpillars? They will then have participated in what is called yagya. Yagyartat karma no nyatya. Your life is devotion. Devotion and activities offered to Krishna in devotion is called sacrifice. Inadvertently, those caterpillars have then become a sacrificial offering, and then they will actually attain a higher destination. In other words, they then have also become benefited in the same way that a flower that is offered to Krishna is also benefited. So this is the way in which Vaishnavas live in this world of violence, keeping their own violent footprint to a very minimum and being freed from the sinful reaction to that violence by having taken shelter of the Lord. Hare Krishna.